Hey, thanks for being here. I want to remind you, you can go to KTAR.com/Arizona Votes, and you can learn more about candidates here, candidate interviews, and all these important races. Very important race here in Maricopa County is the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. Returning as a guest on the show is Democratic candidate. And we are going to talk with Ms. Gunigal, Julie Gunigal. Let's talk about, you and I talked in hypotheticals once before about what would happen if Roe v. Wade was returned to the states, and you had said you would not enforce abortion laws. Now that it is in practice, what are the laws going to look like in Arizona, and has your stance changed at all?
No, first of all, thanks for having me. And no, the stance hasn't changed at all. Not now, not ever. We should not be using the criminal legal system against patients or providers. But anybody who tells you that they know what the state of the law is right now in Arizona is lying. The state of the law is a state of chaos and confusion. We've got at least three conflicting laws that are on the books, some of which are enforceable, others arguably aren't. Some create steep criminal penalties. Others create penalties up to and including the death penalty for providing or procuring an abortion. And no one knows exactly what's enforceable right now because our county attorney has not been clear, and neither has the attorney general's office.
We just talked with her earlier this morning, the interim county attorney, Rachel Mitchell. We talked with her earlier this morning, and she believes there's some clarity in the existing law and what can be enforced and what isn't. And it does not go after anybody, and woman that goes for an abortion. It does punish providers, though.
I listened to that interview, and I think that interview actually creates even more confusion, especially the statements about exempting patients who have experienced rape or incest. Because now the question is, because Arizona women who have been assaulted when Roe v. Wade was the law of the land, but wake up today and experience a positive pregnancy test, are now going to have questions from the county attorney. How are they going to obtain permission from Rachel Mitchell to obtain an abortion? What will they have to prove? What will be the standard of proof? Will they have to wait until their assailant is successfully prosecuted? Are we willing to accept the fact that in Phoenix right now, our rape clearance rate is less than 9%, which means those brave people who step forward and say that this happened to them, in fewer than 9% of the cases, is there ever an arrest? And in fewer than 2%, is there ever a conviction? So I think the recent statements by the county attorney, especially about rape and incest, only raise more questions that are to date unanswered, and one more reason why we shouldn't let politicians be making these reproductive choices on behalf of Arizonans.
But so in defense of that, or a little pushback on that, are you saying that the interim county attorney should have remained silent on that part of the issue when she was asked?
No, to the contrary, what I would have liked to see from the county attorney in acknowledging that there is this uncertainty and that she intends to maybe exercise her discretion is to say that until there's clarity from the courts and from the legislature, I'm not going to prosecute. That is the statement that would have been appropriate under the circumstances. But instead, to create an exemption and then not tell people who now need to use that exemption to obtain an abortion under cases of rape or incest how they get her personal permission to get that abortion, that is an unwieldy, impractical, and immoral set of decisions.
And just to clarify, because I know we've disagreed on this issue, but you still believe that it is the job of your office, using prosecutorial discretion, to not enforce this law because you don't think it's a good law.
Because I don't think it's a good law is not the way I would put it at all. The county attorney needs to be focused on the interests of justice. And right now, about half of all the cases that are referred to that office are declined because of the interests of justice. We have limited public safety resources and money. They should be spent on those crimes that matter most and most compromise community safety. Crimes of violence, crimes that target women, children, and our seniors, crimes against democracy and public corruption instances. But not this. This doesn't make anybody any safer.
Well, it, there is a segment of our society that would say that this is a crime against a child.
And that's heard, but nevertheless, 80% of Maricopa County residents agree with me that we should not be using the criminal legal system to pursue these kinds of cases. So even in light of that, it's irresponsible to take these sorts of cases to a jury where there is no reasonable likelihood of conviction, knowing where Maricopa County residents are on this issue writ large.
Okay, and so let me shift before our time is up. I want to talk about the other statements made about the direction that the office is heading, a backlog of cases, decrease in cases sitting on desks of officer-involved shootings. Are you privy to any of that information as to what the direction the office is heading? Do you believe it is now headed in a better direction where it was before?
I haven't seen any evidence that it's headed in a better direction as was before. I mean, I think this is one more reason why we shouldn't be involving the prosecutor's office in abortion cases in light of this huge backlog. What I would like to see as county attorney is an independent unit for police use of force cases with prescribed timelines so that the public can trust that those cases are not going to be politicized, that there's going to be prompt decision making, and it's going to be done by prosecutors who are not working day in and day out with the same officers that they're asked to hold accountable with those sorts of cases. That's how we earn back the trust of the public on especially officer-involved shootings.
So there have been prosecutors, whether district attorneys or they are county attorneys, that are being very criticized by law enforcement and by members of the community for an uptick in crime with an approach that is less aggressive in approaching or in prosecuting crimes. Can you address that, and how do you believe that some of your policies would be accused of doing that same thing?
Absolutely not. So the policies that form our platform are based on not only talking to directly impacted people all across Maricopa County, but they're based in the best evidence and instances that we know work and are good public policy. They are prosecutorial policies that get at the root cause of crime, because crime prevention is what your prosecutor's office ought to be doing. They're policies that are based in using equitable discretion so we can remove the racial disparities in policing and prosecution. And they're policies that get at corruption. The public is tired of these sweetheart deals to folks like Charles Ryan, who receive, you know, a lesser sentence than anyone else would have under the circumstances. I apologize, lesser charges. Folks want to see that justice is truly equal, and that's what my platform gets to.
I always appreciate the time when you come on the show. And if people want to learn more about your campaign, where can they find you?
Well, likewise, and they can find more information about me and my campaign at gunnigle2020.com. I'm sorry, 2022.com, and that's G-U-N-N-I-G-L-E.
I appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again.
Right back at you.
All right. That is Julie Gunnigle, candidate for Maricopa County Attorney, a Democrat candidate. Be an informed voter. Again, you can go to KTAR.com/Arizona Votes. You can hear these interviews, and you can make sure you are an informed voter when it comes time for you to cast your vote. It's an important race, obviously a very, very important race.